This is the December 1st meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm the chair, George Ryder. I'll call the roll. Lona Elias.
Present.
Kent Anderson.
Present.
Fred Blair. Virginia Browning.
Present.
Mal Bernstein.
Yo.
Benito Diaz. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Jose Luis Fuentes Roman.
Present.
William Hill.
Present.
I got you, Jose. Was that William or?
It wasn't, but William present.
Okay, good. Joseph Kay is actually being replaced by Deb Shafto, and she's not here. Pat Logan has resigned from the committee. Tony Norman.
Present.
Myself, George Ryder, Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Serene Roberts.
Present.
Nancy Savara Naratomi and Margie Wilkinson. Okay. So we don't have any minutes that I know of. So we'll get started with the agenda. Are there other items for the agenda? Okay, hearing none then. Jose Luis, you're the first one up. Would you introduce the subject and make whatever motion you think is appropriate?
Have we approved the agenda already?
Well, I didn't hear anybody. Any additions or changes. So, ask: is there any objection to the agenda as it was sent out?
KPFA. I would like to add some items to the agenda for us to consider, if possible.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
One is the issue of whether Pacifica needs to have a permanent executive director. And collaterally to that is, can they afford an executive director? And see what governance thinks about the structure. If we need to do a bylaw amendment, that would be one item I'd like to add: the issue of whether Pacifica needs an executive director. Two, I would like us to consider whether we should be thinking about how to raise revenue through either mortgaging of our property, either through mortgaging of our properties that we do owe, selling them, having long-term arrangements.
Let's deal with the first one first. That would clearly be a bylaws amendment, and I suppose it's appropriate to talk about it in the governance. Where would you like to put that? So the three things that are on now are your motion with regard to there's the continuing conversation about what to do about liability for medical misinformation when they broadcast on the air. And there was a question about LSB evaluations. Where would you like to put the discussion about general bylaws so that we wouldn't have a permanent executive director?
Wherever the body thinks it's appropriate, I have no preference. Okay. I would just like to get it on the agenda for us to consider.
I'd suggest that after those three, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the other issue we actually did discuss a while back on the Strategic Planning Committee, and there was some consternation about whether or not we could do that in open session. Can we restrict this somehow to the policies about it without really discussing the details? or the legitimacy within a governance structure of doing any of these things? That would seem to me to be appropriate for the...
A point of information, Jose Luis, KPFA.
Yeah.
This is my motion to consider a policy regarding bequests.
Yes, that was the first. That was the first item. That's fine. That's fine as it is. But you said you wanted to talk about raising money by selling off a station or various other ways.
I'm in favor of full disclosure and transparency, and us talking about policy regarding that, I don't see that as having to be in closed session, since none of this is what Pacifica is going to do or not do, that the PMB would have to decide. I think at the committee level, it can be things that committees are thinking about. So I think we could have it.
Yeah, I think that's fine. There may be financial information or legal situations or whatever that shouldn't be an open session, but if we just restrict ourselves. Well, let me just... So anyway, that's your suggestion, that we have a discussion on exactly what. But maybe that's the best way to do this. So what exactly would you like to have on the agenda?
Mute myself here. I would like to have the agenda is the governance committee look into what requirements the PMB would have to abide by if they were to consider selling any of the properties, mortgaging them, and so forth, according to our bylaws and governance structure.
Okay.
Can it just be done by the executive director, the CFO, a committee, or does it have to be the full PMB membership?
No, that's certainly within the purview of the committee.
William, back.
Where would you like to put that? I'll get
the same as before. Wherever the body thinks that it should lie, the importance of it.
Okay. I would say, I don't know, last on the agenda. Is that all right? So just add it to the end of the agenda. If you don't get to it today, we'll get to it next time. Is there any objection to having that on the agenda in that position?
Yes, William for the stack.
Lona Alliance.
I had Lawrence, and then I heard William, and then I heard Lona. So let me take them in that order. Yeah, Lawrence. Lawrence?
I didn't ask if you understand, George. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did.
Yeah.
Okay. William?
Yeah, this is William Hairwagon. I don't see how either the subject of the desirability of having a permanent executive director or the procedures for selling property are in the purview of the governance committee. These are all like P&B issues. So the executive director might be the personnel committee, but started with the P&B with a referral to personnel. And selling property would probably fall... Again, PMB, and then a referral to probably finance. I don't see where either one of those belong on our agenda.
So
I don't know if I'll object.
Okay, Lana, You're a closer thing on the agenda. Lona?
My objection is that I feel that to have, and this is for the last item in terms of the dissolution of a property that's owned by the network, I feel to have that discussion of the feasibility, probability in open session may create some undue panic, and that's what I feel, that it's probably not the wisest thing to do in open session, but something that we choose to discuss. I don't have a question as to whether or not it's within the purview to discuss it. I feel that it's probably not prudent or wise to do it in open session when it's something that we may or may not, as the PNB may or may not decide is feasible. Why put that in the air?
What I heard Jose Luis asking for was not actually a discussion of whether it was feasible or wise, but what you'd have to do, what do the bylaws have to say about it? What does our governance structure have to say about that? Which is a different conversation and might be appropriate here. Your objection to that might be raised as well, and we'll just take a vote on it just a bit. But am I correct, Jose Luis, if that was what you wanted, rather than a discussion of the feasibility or the wisdom or necessity of doing
that? You're correct.
Okay, so...
George?
I'm sorry. Lona? I'm sorry, Serena.
And then Serena.
Okay, Lona, go ahead and then Serena.
Well, I yield to Serena since she hasn't spoken on the issue, and we'll go afterwards.
Okay.
I got dropped, so I was trying to ask what the issue was.
Okay, then I will speak. What I heard, George, was that he wanted to discuss raising ways to raise money for the network, including the sale of property. And so, to me, that seemed to be just as I phrased it, feasibility of possibly doing it, not as a governance issue in terms of whether or not it was something that the bylaws supported. That's not what I heard, and so I'm just responding to what I heard as a means of raising money.
Okay, would you type it up? And I'm sorry for speaking over you, Lona, but I take your point. Jose Luis, would you write up exactly what you want to put on the agenda?
I would, but I'm not at a computer. Is the issue with me? But it says you have described it, George. And I apologize to other directors if it was interpreted differently. But it's as George explained it. And it's just what does Pacifica need to do according to our bylaws and governance structure in order to mortgage, sell properties, licenses, whatever they might do, what do they need to do in order to comply with our governance structure bylaws? Does it need a bylaw amendment in order to do that? Does it not? But just issues that we need to tackle sooner or later.
This is fine. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Finish.
Okay, so with that being a sense of what is intended, comments about whether you'd like to have it on the agenda or not. Serene.
Okay, I don't see how this is a governance committee issue per se. If the PNB is interested in exploring that, I actually think the bylaws on that are pretty clear. We can't dispose of any assets without a membership vote. So that certainly takes care of any sale or... I don't know. What was the other thing you raised? Anyway, of property or licenses, they're all assets, and would have to, as I understand it. But I don't know that the PNB has asked that of this committee.
It hasn't. So I think it's just speaking against having it on the agenda. Anyone else want to speak to this, or whether or not this discussion should be on the agenda, specifically about what kind of restrictions in the bylaws and or the rest of our governance structure would prevent the sale of property or other ways of raising money.
Bonds to the site.
Dead loans.
So the bylaws are pretty. Is that me?
Yeah, you broke up for a moment. You said the bylaws are pretty, and then it went blank.
The bylaws are pretty clear on this, as Serene mentioned. And, I mean, the bylaws aren't clear on a lot of things, but it's pretty clear on this. And I think if we're going to do anything, I think the PNB should have a discussion about it first. So,
okay.
I would not support it being on the agenda.
Virginia, to the stat.
Yeah, Virginia, go ahead.
I haven't read everything in the bylaws, but I'm prepared to believe that if Jose Luis thinks there might be something that Serene or Lawrence missed, maybe he could communicate with them separately. I mean, it just seems like, what could this committee do if some of the people on the committee have read the bylaws and nobody else has a strong opinion about it? Or unless Jose Luis has a different opinion, it doesn't seem like something the whole committee needs to talk about.
Would anyone like to speak in favor of having this on the agenda?
Jose Luis, I'd like to add just a point of clarification on what's been said.
Yeah, okay.
I understand the disposal of assets, but how about mortgaging property? Would that be considered disposal of property? And if not, then, what does the governance structure of Pacifica past practices say about this? And if the bylaws do require a membership vote to dispose of that, then, what happened to WBAI and the property it owned many years ago, a church it owned and had to get rid of? And what was followed there? What was the procedure there? What did governance say there when that property was disposed of in New York?
Lawrence, to the staff. As far as I've been around in Pacifica, and that's been a little while, right, I have not heard of any of our assets being mortgaged or loan being taken out on any of the assets. So, again, I it's pretty clear, not disrespecting Jose Luis or anything, but it's pretty clear to me anyway that this discussion shouldn't be had at this committee meeting.
Point of order, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Lorna.
It seems that we are, how do you say, all this discussion about this suggestion, and can we just call the question on this and take a vote and move on? We're like 40 minutes into this call.
If there's no objection, I will call the question.
Nancy, to the stack, please.
Yeah, Nancy.
Isn't one of the requirements for this kind of discussion of any selling of property has to be an executive session, and we're not in executive session.
That's my point.
And I'm not really sure it is the governance purveyance here. But anyway, it should be an executive going to start talking about selling stuff. So I don't think we need a vote.
Well, I think we do need a vote because it's not specifically about selling any specific properties. It's what kind of what restrictions in the bylaws, what kind of restrictions in past practice there might be. So it isn't directly necessary to be an executive session. I'm ruling it's in order. Whether you want to consider it or not is up to you all. If no one else wants to speak, I'll take a vote on it, and then we will continue talking about it. Is there any objection to my calling the vote?
Yeah, point of information. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, just very briefly, I agree with Nancy that if we're talking about, even if we're not talking about specific properties and the possible values, the fact that we may be in a position where we need to dispose of property is itself, I think, an issue that we may not necessarily want to put out there before
because it exposes the limits, let's say, to which we may be vulnerable. I don't know that. I don't think it's a governance issue. I don't think it's necessarily an open session issue. But the bylaws that we're talking about, that we're operating under, are the ones that were approved in 2003, and we all had our issues with them, but that's 2003. The sale, the disposition of property that Jose Luis is referencing happened well before that and under a very, under what I imagine are substantially different bylaws. That's just an FYI.
I don't sense any strong support for this on the committee. I would like, there are various reasons for it. I would like to just go to a vote on it and settle it that way. Lawrence, you had wanted to speak. You had a question, Lawrence, I think.
Yeah, a question. So a yes vote is to have it on the agenda. No vote is to not, right?
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any objection to my calling the roll on that? It's just exactly the way Lawrence said it. A yes vote is we'll put it on the agenda, and no vote is we won't. Okay, hearing no objection, I'll call the roll. Lynn Elias.
No.
Chuck Anderson.
No.
Virginia Browning. Virginia, can't
no, I guess not, no.
Mal Bernstein. Mal? Can't hear you, Mal. Jose Luis? Jose Luis?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
William Hielagen?
No.
Tony Norman?
No.
Lawrence?
No.
Serene?
No.
Is that a yes?
N-O. No.
I still didn't get it. Is it yes or no?
No, N-O, no.
Nancy Sabarana-Haratomi?
No, N-O.
Okay, so the vote is 8-1. Not to have it on the agenda, and so it ends that discussion. The agenda as it stands is the three items that we had, followed by the first of Jose Luis's topics, which was what we need to do with the bylaws to not have a permanent executive director. Now, is any objection to the agenda amended?
William from STAC.
Yeah, William.
Part of information. I didn't understand that to be the motion. Is that what the motion is, to discuss doing away with the executive director position?
The motion was, what would you have to change in the bylaws in order to do away with the executive director position? Is that correct, Jose Luis?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm muting myself here. Well, it's half correct. The issue is whether or not Pacifica needs an executive director according to our bylaws and governance structure. We got one.
Well, I mean, it's completely clear that the executive director position is in the bylaws, along with all the other offices. So the answer to that is yes, we have to have one, unless you want to make a change in the bylaws.
Well, that's what I would like to discuss, because I don't see it. Just says the position is there. It doesn't say it has to be filled.
William, for this back.
Okay, good, William.
I'll reiterate my objection, which I might have made too late, but I objected earlier to having this on the agenda.
Can we go to a vote on this, or anybody else want to speak to this? Whether or not it should be on the agenda. Okay, hearing none, nobody, I will call the roll on this. A yes is it should be on the agenda, and what it should be is, Jose, will you say it again, please?
Whether or not the Pacifica bylaws and governance structure require the executive director's position to be filled or not.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this is Serene.
Good, Serene.
I think, well, if a position is created or exists within the bylaws, it is with the intent that the position be filled. Otherwise, I don't think it would be in the bylaws. And frankly...
That's a discussion on the issue. The question is, do we want to put it on the agenda at all? So can I just go to a vote on that? Any objection to the...
Virginia, can I... Well, okay, never mind. I guess... Never mind.
Fine. Virginia, don't let us run over.
Well, it's because, to me, people can talk to each other. There's nothing preventing several members of this committee from talking to each other outside the committee and outside the stream about that. Is that correct?
Yeah, of course, yes.
So I think it's a good thing to discuss, but I'm not sure it needs to be discussed by the whole committee, but thank you.
But that's the only thing we're considering now, whether this should be discussed by the whole committee.
Okay.
So if you will, I'll if there's no objection, I will call the roll on that. A yes is we should discuss it, a no is we shouldn't. Well, we will discuss it, or a no is we won't. So, Lona Elias?
No.
Chuck Anderson?
No.
Virginia Browning?
No.
Mal Bernstein, Jose Luis, Fuentes Roman.
Yeah.
William Hill Arden.
No.
Tony Norman.
No.
Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Celine Roberts.
No.
Nancy Sevara Naritomi?
No.
Okay, the vote is 8-1 against, so we won't discuss that. We're still at approval of the agenda. People can make other suggestions as to what should be on it. We have just the three items that we're sent out.
Nancy would like to put the new bylaw amendment schedule, if we could start to make that. For the new process of bylaw amendments.
You mean the one, we've had two this year, you mean the first one for next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Point of personal privilege?
Yes, what?
I got to go, George, as I told you earlier.
I realize that. Okay.
Thank you, Lauren.
Appreciate you being here.
All right, good night.
Okay, so Nancy's motion is to consider what the time frame should be for the next bylaws amendments. Is that correct, Nancy?
Yes, and I have another one too, but maybe it's too much. But I'd like the other one is.
Where would you like to put the first one?
At the end, because it's not really urgent. It can wait a little while. We still have time. We have 1 month until next year. Another one.
Let's do one at a time. We're getting trouble a little more. Is there any objection to that being on the agenda? Consideration of when to have the next bylaws cycle and producing a calendar for that. Okay, hearing none, it's on the agenda after, subject to final approval of the agenda. And what's your next one, Nancy?
The next one is that by the bylaws, according to the bylaws, the national directors have unfettered rights to do an inspector's inspection at their stations. And I would like to make it possible that other members of at least the finance committee, LSB members, also have that right. I mean, it would not break a bylaw to have that kind of resolution. Like in the case of KPFT, we did not have a director's inspection that was able to go through and take place until a year ago, and we've been, you know, KPFT has been on having an LSB for a long, long time. So I don't think we should leave it just the way. I mean, it should not happen again.
So your specific proposal is extending the ability to have a equivalent of a director's inspection for people who are on the local finance committees. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Because the LSB members, they have a right according to the bylaws, but it's very vague. It's not really like strong, like unfettered rights. And if the directors decide not to do it, well, then it doesn't get done. And that's not good. I think we should open it up a little more and let at least the LSB members that are on the finance committee be able to have unfettered rights.
Okay, there's probably a bylaws change, but that's what you'd like to discuss.
This one about finance before and the bylaws amendment schedule last. So, second to the last and last.
Okay. Is there any objection to having that discussion in that order? Okay, hearing none. Are there any other additions or changes to the agenda? Hearing none, are there any objections to the agenda as it's been amended? Hearing none, we'll move forward on the first item, which is the minutes. Do we have minutes? Do we have minutes, Nancy?
No, I'm sorry. I did not get them done. No, not this time. Sorry.
Then the next item on the agenda is Jose Luis's, which sounds like paraphrased is what to do with the state gifts or some policy for gifts from the states or perhaps gifts in general to the network. Jose, would you like to introduce that?
Yeah, my motion is that any donation bequest gift money that comes in from within the signal area of one of the five radio stations be money that is for that radio stations so they can put, yeah. So that's my motion. The motion again is that any bequest, gift, money that comes in from the local station's signal area be attributed to that station, regardless if it says Pacifica Radio on the check.
This is me.
Okay. So that's motion.
Lana Elias.
This is
me. I was muted.
I'm sorry. I heard I heard the first female voice before Lana. Who is that?
Serene. After the fact.
Serene. Then Lana. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I think we need to take a holistic approach to dealing with the bequest. I agree that the attachment, and I'm actually stealing someone else's quote on this, when I say that the attachment that listeners feel is to their station, not to an administrative office that doesn't produce the programming that they listen to. But
That said, I think we also maybe need to make it clearer. We need to have standard language, and we need to make sure that it is as clear as possible to the average person reading what they need to do specifically in order to make sure that their money ends up where they want it to. Because, as I said, I don't think most people say, oh, gee, let's send it to the managers at a particular office. I think they send it to enhance the work that they've enjoyed. So I'm not sure that this is a solution to that. And I also, my concern also is that because, you know, we're available on the Internet, it's entirely possible for someone who lives in L.A., for example, to be enamored of you know, WPFW's jazz programming. So I don't know that a zip code necessarily translates into a clear understanding of what's intended. So I do think we need to look at the whole package and rework the language, see what we have, and then see what we need to fix. It's one of the reasons why an open discussion of the previous issue would have been a good thing.
Dana?
Hi. It seems to me that what's most important is the intention of the person making the request. And it would appear to me that even though it's in our bylaws, that we may have some problems with that legally, because my understanding in terms of justification and gifts of that nature, by law, if it says that it's to go to the network, then by law, you know, it has to go to the network. We can't decide that we don't like that idea. I think there are some legalities. When someone says, I want it to be split among the five stations, that we say, no, we're not going to give it to the five stations. We'll only give it to the station in the signal area. I think there's some major legalities in that. So
I agree. I mean, it's clearly the intent of the donor is what has to predominate in here. And you could have a donor in a signal area who wants to give it to the national organization. You could have a donor outside the signal area who could want to give it to that signal area, as we point out, some other signal area. So it seems to me that's what has to be clear. And in the specific issue that brought this up, it seems to me it wasn't clear, at least. I mean, it may have been clear legally if you really looked at it close enough, but probably what needs to happen is to make sure that the donors are asked, I suppose, just exactly where do you want this to go. I mean, it's also, to some extent, it matters, because if it's sent to station and they have it on their books, they can make plans with what to do with that money. Whereas if it's sent to the network as a whole, of course, they can't. On the other hand, the network can have access to that money if it needs it. So I guess my sense is this needs to be clarified, and the way to clarify it is to make sure that we know what the intent of the donor is, whatever it is, when the gift is made, which shouldn't be too difficult. Anyway, anyone else want to speak to this?
This is Virginia from KPFA.
Yeah, Virginia, go ahead.
I think that what Serene said about making it crystal clear what language is given to donors may be an appropriate thing to, you know, to make it even more clear than it is. As far as the, I don't think anybody can tell what this previous donor wanted. If you look at all of the information, all you can tell is that for some reason their lawyer decided not to write something that said KPFA on it, which to me seems to be the most clear case that it was supposed to go to Pacifica. I don't think that the motion that Jose Luis wants would be legal, and I think that the what Serene is asking is more appropriate if there's going to be a motion.
Anybody else want to speak to this?
Yeah, I think there's William.
Hi, William.
Okay, I think the big problem that we're relating this to or from is a bequest. Now, if someone's deceased and we're talking about a legal document like a last will and testament, we can't ask anybody. So I don't know how much of an impact this can have. If it's not in the last will and testament that the address is WBAI New York, 388 Atlantic Avenue, and they just say the Pacifica Foundation, has to go to the Pacifica Foundation if the person is deceased and if there's nothing else in the will. I don't see why we're going to discuss this.
Anybody else want to speak to this?
I'm not going to vote against it, but I don't think there's much to discuss.
Anybody else want to speak to this?
So, Jose Luis.
Yeah, good.
So, I see us having, and I might be wrong about this, but I see us having three options here, and one is, we go with the signal area with money coming. Can people mute who are on the phone? Thank you. So one option is that the money that come in, we go by the signal areas. The other option is that any money that comes in all belongs to Pacifica, period. It's all Pacifica's money, property, and it should be distributed through all five stations. And the third option is we go on a case-by-case basis in order to seek the intent of whatever the donor is and establish some Machiavellian court or panel or committee in order to adjudicate case by case whether that money really belongs to WBAI or Pacifica or KPFT or Pacifica or KPFA or KPFK. Right? It's just we go on a case by case basis, and in the meantime, those stations should not be disposing of that money, should be segregated, put into a locked account until whatever group makes the decision, and then it gets ratified by the PMB. That way we assure due process to everybody, the station, the donor, the listeners, and we can go from that third route. I suggest we go with the signal area, which is what we have been doing, at least until this came up, for the last 70-plus years. Those are the three options I see. And if there's a fourth option, that would be great.
Anybody else want to speak to it?
Virginia from KPFA.
Yeah, Virginia.
If this has been going on for 70-plus years, that's the first I've heard of it, because what I've heard is that it's gone on a case-by-case basis, that in legally it belongs to Pacifica, which owns all of it. And the only thing that makes sense to me is that things be clarified so that if a and this person did all that talk about Machiavellian and 70-plus years was politicizing this. That's all I'm saying. There's another point of view to that. But whatever. Thanks.
Lona Elias, please.
Good woman.
Ouch. I must agree with Virginia. I think it was just speaking. Hey, guys, cut it out. I keep pushing buttons. It's hurting my ear. I never heard of this happening in the past either. In the 30-something plus years that I've been at WPFW, I've been in every department and have worked in development, which I guess is more to the point here. And my understanding is that a person has the right to restrict funds for a specific station this is what they choose to do. And I maybe the reason this came up is because of what happened with the money recently that was earmarked for one station. And then when the document was examined, the opinion was that it was not earmarked specifically for that station, that it was only addressed that way in a manner for it to be processed through the network. So I don't know. It seems to me that we're trying to create a policy for something that doesn't exist, right? That doesn't need to happen. I mean, restrictive funds, when they're restricted, then they're restricted just for that station. And there have been any number of examples where that has happened in the past. And I also want to say that we can't have it two ways. When the discussion came up about the basic membership, there was this big thing that there's no membership in a Pacific station. It is only membership for Pacifica. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. That's all I'm saying.
Anybody who hasn't spoken would like to speak to this?
Yes, William, put his back.
Well, you have spoken. Anybody who hasn't spoken, no one shows up. You're next. Okay, good.
Just a little more information on the WPFW issue, Bologna. It wasn't that you can't have a station membership. It was that you can't have a station membership that's a different amount than the Pacifica minimum of $25 per year. The question was, at that time, was, well, gee, you can't say, well, our station it's 35 or my station is 50. You can't do that. It's $25. That was the issue. It wasn't that it's not the station, it's Pacifica, it's the amount. And, of course, it can be payable to the station, and it is payable to the station. Thank you.
Jose Luis.
Let me see again if there's anybody else that wants to speak that hasn't spoken. Go ahead, Jose.
So, I think my concern with what has just been said by a few directors is that we do not do it unilaterally by policy on a case by case. If a bequest comes in, for instance, to KPFK, I did not know about it when it happened as a PMB director. I was not privy to the documents to determine whether the intent of that donor was for all of Pacifica, as opposed to just KPFK. Likewise, WBAI, it's having bequests, and I have not seen the will or the documents to see whether that money really belongs to WBAI or does it belong to all of Pacifica. And I won't know that because the mail and correspondence all goes to WBAI or KPFK, and it doesn't go to the PMB office. It doesn't go to the national office. There's no PMB office, but I mean the national office. And by the time the CFO or anyone catches it, we're talking about months later. And then to go and do individual inspectors, directors inspection for each of the bequests and the documents to see whether or not WBAI legitimately kept the money or KPFK legitimately kept the money. It might be all be gone by then. And we would need to, we don't have policies right now that require the individual stations when a bequest comes in to send it to the PMB directors or, in all cases, it should be somebody, the finance committee perhaps should be the ones reviewing these and then just making that determination if that's the way the body wants to go. Otherwise, we
we can't all, none of us can be saying, oh, this never happened before, or I've never heard about this happening before, because we're not privy to those documents in the past, because it all gets done according to the local signal area, and it's only when there is a inspection and by a director looking at all the documents can then it be figured out whether there's an issue or not. But again, we don't have any policies for this, so it's just happenstance and by chance that you might catch this.
Serene, for the staff.
Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so documents do not have to be sent to the PND. As a matter of course, we're a governance board. We're not supposed to be involved in day-to-day management. A clear policy and an executive director and a CFO in place with, and we can set up reporting. You can say if any gift comes in over such and such an amount or whatever the case is, or give us a quarterly report on request. I mean, those policies can be put in place, so we don't need to be involved with documents being sent to us every time something is sent in. I have no doubt that, well, let me say this. I know there's a strong history, and I've heard it before, of National snatching money intended for stations. So, you know, it's not the current National. A lot of things have changed, you know, and we don't necessarily need to rehash and investigate every single thing that has ever happened. I don't think we have that kind of time. We can't afford that kind of time. We don't have a lot of time. But I don't think, first of all, I have not checked the financial policy and procedures manual on this issue, but that document does exist. It does need to be updated, but I'm pretty sure there's something there. I don't know that anybody else has checked it on this particular issue, in spite of, you know, all the documents flying all over the place from people who aren't even on the board. I don't think we can make an informed, intelligent decision on this tonight, and I would urge us to put it aside, do some research, look at the existing policies that are on our website. If any, I believe KPFA.org does have a policy on their site. I don't know about the other stations. I know BAI does not have a clear policy. It says contact such and such. Correct. I'm sorry, a publicly available policy. So let's do the homework instead of, you know, just making a decision, because as I said, I think let's just move on.
Lona, back, please.
Excuse me. I have to go. Sorry.
Who was that? Okay. Yeah, Lona.
Sound like it was Jose. I think that the policy should be formulated. I think it is the responsibility of governors maybe to at least craft something that simply says, as Serene said, that quarterly all bequests to all the stations with the supporting documents must be submitted to the either finance committee.
Lona, are you still there? Hey. Can I be heard? Ms. George, can I be heard?
Yeah, William hears you.
Lona, are you there? Good grief. Let me see how many people are still on the call. You still have eight people, so I presume Lona is there, but...
Wow, I got kicked out, guys. I'm back. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Lona, back. So, I think it's a good idea to find out what policy is there, but I think that we can be proactive and, you know, I'm prepared to move that a policy be written, that all bequests that come to the station and to Pacifica National Board on a quarterly basis be submitted to the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee with all its supporting documents.
Okay, so that's, do you want to make that as an amendment to Jose Luis's motion?
I didn't hear a motion from him.
Yeah, he did. So let me say what that was. It was a specific policy that any donation, request, or gift that comes into a particular station.
No, I don't. No, no. I totally disagree with that. That is
well, you can disagree with it, but you can disagree with it, but I want to put on that's what the motion that he made.
Okay. So I'm suggesting an alternative motion, George.
So you do want to amend that.
I don't want to amend that motion. I would like to suggest an alternative to that.
That's a substitute, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is that quarterly, any requests that come in be forwarded to the National Finance Committee. Is that correct?
With all the supporting documents.
All supporting documents.
That every station and the Pacifica National Board is required to report quarterly all the requests with all the supporting documents to the PM, to the National Finance Committee.
Okay, so...
And copies are available, and access is available to the Finance Committee of all the five stations.
Okay.
I'll have a bottleneck right there at Finance.
So that's... So the policy is quarterly, any gifts, requests, donations,
bequests and over a certain amount. Someone has suggested that. I think that's okay. So let me modify this. And that I move that all bequests, donations, major donations made to Pacifica and the stations be reported with all its supporting documents to the National Finance Committee and copies made available to the Finance Committee of the local station boards as well.
Okay, so major gifts being left undefined is exactly what that means.
Can we haggle over that later? Can we get
over 5,000. 5,000 or more.
Well, there's the first haggle. Is that okay?
Well, now does that work?
I was thinking more like 100,000, but okay. in terms of a major, I mean, we got
$10,000.
I'm saying we get $5,000, $10,000 donation all the time. People don't donate that much to my show, so that's not, you know.
Let's get Lona's substitute motion up on the floor, and then we can amend that if you like with a particular amount as part of the discussion. So both Lona and Jose Luis's original motion are up for discussion. Anyone want to speak to either one?
Virginia from KPFA, I want to speak to Lona's.
Go ahead, Virginia.
There's no finance committee at KPFA, even though some of us would like there to be one. And I wondered how secret it is from the rest of the PNB. If this passes, does that mean that other PNB members won't have access to the documents? That's a kind of a question, I guess.
No. The PNB members have access to any document, whatever. It doesn't mean anybody else can't find out ask what happened on the Finance Committee, or even be as a listener on the Finance Committee calls. It certainly doesn't mean they're excluded from that. My sense of Bona's motion is this is basically the first place it goes for disclosure, so to speak.
Anybody else? William Fitchtek.
William, go ahead.
I understand that people want to have some kind of confirmation that this was done, that it was deposited in the right bank account, and there was good reason to do so. But I don't understand I understand the need for something like this, but I don't think it needs to be the National Finance Committee. What are they going to do? They're going to have to hold executive sessions to discuss these items? I think perhaps the repository
is the CFO or the IEDN CFO. I don't think we need to make a big process out of this that involve dozens of people at national and local committees. So I think it should just go to the IED. And I'll make an amendment. I make an amendment to Lona's that the details go to the IED and CFO.
Or ED if in case or CFO.
Yeah, okay.
I reject that amendment. Alona, I don't accept that amendment. It defeats the purpose of the motion for me.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's speak then on William's amendment. That's what's on the floor. It's an amendment to William's substitute. So anybody want to speak to that?
Yeah, you know, Jose Luis.
Yeah, go ahead, Jose Luis.
So, you know, I see we're on the route to this third option, which is this, and it's not politicizing, it is what we're discussing now, some Machiavellian kangaroo court that's going to be making the decisions, but if this is where the body wants to go, that's fine. We're there in discussing this in this substitute motion of creating some body to look at these documents. We've had the ED and the CFO look at these documents, and this is why we're having this discussion, because we weren't happy with the decision that was made. And now we're putting it back to the CFO and the ED to make a decision, and then later it be revealed that we don't like it, and the PMB makes a different decision, causes any station's financial planning to go into chaos. Because they plan for something based on decisions by a body that gets overturned by the PMB. So if we're going to set up a truth and reconciliation committee, let's do that, and let's it should be the governance committee setting it up with. But so I'm opposed to this amendment to Anna, to the substitute motion.
Tony.
Anybody else want to speak to the amendment?
Tony,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to speak in favor of it. I mean, we have to make a distinction between governance and management and executive decisions. And I think that clearly I would strongly agree with this amendment that it should be something reviewed by the executive director as well as the CFO. If not simply the CFO, but at least both of them to review it once they get. That's your check and balance. If a donation of a certain amount comes in and you want to review it, it should be done by the CFO, particularly the CFO, the executive director. I don't see how a committee can review anything like that. That's part of the problem with Pacifica. Too many things are being managed by committees or by the board. Boards and committees can't do executive functions. And the minute you do that, it becomes political and chaos. So that's clear in executive functions. And I think that's something that the executive director and the CFO should review. I think it should be reviewed that large donations and especially bequests and gifts by a state should be reviewed past a certain amount. And if it's above, what is it, $5,000 or $10,000, then it should be reviewed by the executive director and the CFO. And that I don't know how a committee is going to review anything. That's just a debate and a discussion. I think that's in the wrong direction. And it's not just on this issue, but all of these issues that are coming up, we need to make a fine distinction between governance that deals with policy and management that deals with executive authority, day-to-day executive decisions. You cannot cross the line with that. That's the confusion with the whole Pacifica operation. Too many executive management functions are being reviewed and becoming a political governance issue when it's really just executive function. That's not how you... We keep forgetting that we are a corporation. It is a nonprofit corporation. And in a corporation, you have an executive director and you have managers, and that's why you hire these people to make executive functions. And to me, this is an executive function.
Point of clarification, please. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Point of clarification.
Yeah,
definitely. The idea of this is an additional set of eyes. not to exclude whatever process is already in place, not to exclude the CFO or the executive director. Of course, they're going to receive it. We're just asking that quarterly, whatever has come in during the past 3 months, that there is a reporting of it done to the PMB committee, to the finance committee, so that if in the case of this that bequest that I think is the catalyst for all of this, you know, that things were misappropriated, then there are another set of eyes that are independent of the CFO, that are independent of the executive director, that are impartial, that don't have a dog in the fight, as it were, can look at this and say, well, wait a minute, those funds really should not have been allocated the way that they were. This is not to overstep anything that's already in place, but to add another, just a check and balance, so that, period. Let me stop there. Thank you.
And Virginia from KPFA?
Go ahead, Virginia.
One thing that bothers me is that decisions like this about policy are made in the same meeting in which they're brought up for the first time. So people think these things, a few people think them through and then make some supposedly everlasting policy. And I do believe that there are so many years of everlasting policies that some of them even contradict each other at this point. But my main thing to say about this is that I don't think it should be decided at this meeting.
Well, you could move to postpone to the next meeting if you wish. It's on the.
Can you hear me?
Yes, do you wish? I didn't hear anything from Virginia about that.
Okay, so, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's whatever. I just wanted to say that I don't know about next meeting. I think discussions about things like this are good, and the more discussion, the better. But anyway, Serene was the one whose voice you just heard there.
Yes, Serene.
Okay, so, and I apologize for having engaged in the discussion because I actually think it's out of order. I think this is a finance issue. The PND can discuss anything as a whole, and the National Finance Committee can certainly discuss how we handle our money. I made reference to the financial policies and procedures manual, and I am moving to at least table the discussion. I do believe it's out of order entirely for this governance committee to undertake. Governance has nothing to do with how the money is spent.
It is in order, but the discussion so far has been about what kind of policy do we want to put in place for handling the money. Is something, and to be clear, this is going to be a recommendation to the PMB. So, let me finish, please. This is going to be a recommendation to the PMB about what kind of policy they want to have about this particular finance issue, about this particular question, which Jose Luis raised of how do we, it's basically oversight, which seems to be the issue here. And certainly it's the substance of Lona's motion is to put in some place some additional oversight. That seems to me to be within the purview of this committee to recommend. And the discussions that we're having, the reason it happens in committee is so you can do that. So you can bring up all the things that you might think about, including the ones that have already been brought up. So I don't think it's out of order. I think we should either go to a vote on it, continue discussing it, and if we don't think we've discussed it enough, postpone discussion until next time. Or if you want to have more information. But I don't think it's out of order at all.
Bill, William, for a sec.
Yeah. So what's specifically on the floor is William's suggestion that to take the National Finance Committee out of it altogether and put it directly in the hands of the ED and the CFO. Yeah, William.
Yeah, I just want to remind you that I believe my interpretation is that Serene just made a motion to table.
Well, so,
so that has to be voted on.
Yeah.
Can we discuss that or not?
Discuss what? The motion to table?
Yes.
Well, if we were in the PNB, there would be no question we would simply go to a vote on the motion to table without discussing it. A motion to table is supposed to be used when something needs to be set aside because there's something else more urgent that you want to talk about, not to simply close debate. In a committee, you're not allowed to close debate. That's there specifically so that the thing can be discussed fully. And so I think I'm going to rule with the motion to table is out of order. And I've done this before. I think that we're not doing it because we've got something else that's urgent. We're doing it because we don't think the discussion belongs here. That's fine. You can just vote against the motion itself.
William for the stack.
I'm sorry. I think I heard Virginia first and then William.
Well, I did want to be on it, but I didn't say that, so go ahead. Just put me out.
Yeah,
can you not hear me?
Oh, no. I can hear you now.
Well, it was my voice, not Virginia's. We don't even sound alike. You keep calling her name when I speak. I don't know.
I thought I heard her. Okay.
Yeah. I think if people are muting, I mean, Jose Luis, point of personal privilege.
Yeah.
You know, I think people are on mute and speaking and just, I mean, I'm not hearing, or I'm just having interference recognizing voices and who's asking for things.
Well, I wasn't on mute when I said my name three times before William or before Virginia was called, although she had not spoken. Am I recognized now?
Well, I heard William before you, but if you'd like to, if it's okay with him, you can speak to first.
I spoke before William. I have no problem taking my turn, in turn, which would be now. I don't have Robert's rules in front of me. I'm not a Robert's rules expert, so I don't know that you can treat my motion to table as being out of order. But rather than spend the next 15 minutes on that argument, I raise as a point of order that this motion is out of order in the Governance Committee. It is a finance matter. It is a matter of money and how it's allocated, how it's received, how it's processed. It belongs with the National Finance Committee or with the Pacifica National Board. So my point of order is that this motion is out of order and we should stop the discussion and move on to things that actually are, as you say, more urgent, and deal with the Governance Committee, which is the rest of the agenda.
I already said that I think it's in order, because it's not talking about how you spend money. It's talking about a policy for transparency and disclosure, which seems to me to be within the purview of a Governance Committee and governance ideas.
Interpretation of the bylaws.
What's that?
The Governance Committee deals with the interpretation of the bylaws. What does the bequest policy have to do with that?
It doesn't only deal with the interpretation of the bylaws. We've dealt with many other issues besides bylaws issues on this committee. If you wish to overrule my decision, we can take a vote on that.
Well, you know, George, what people have done and what people should do, according to the description of the committee's work, are two different things.
Okay, so if you disagree with my ruling,
William was next.
You want to appeal the decision, you can take a vote on that. William, you're next. I was asking Steve if she wanted to do that. If I don't hear from her, you're next.
Okay, I think, George, your interpretation that tabling is just an attempt to shut down debate. That's something in your head, and that's not the only reason that somebody might want to table something. Yeah, I think you're just your reasoning behind saying that this is totally in order and that you can't table this is absurd, and I challenge your ruling.
Okay, yeah.
There's two separate issues involved. One has to do with whether or not you can move to table. Actually, this came up before. It's come up several times, and I actually wrote a long thing about a year and a half ago. And I'll dig it up, and I'll send everybody the citations from Robert's Rules and why I think it's the case. However, the question about whether it's in order for us to be discussing this or not, that's certainly something that the committee can decide for itself. I'm going to take the someone else wants to chime in on this, I wanted to go to a vote on whether or not it's in order to be considering this in the governance committee. And if you vote that it's not, then it's off the table. It's gone.
My actual complaint was against your saying she could not table it. That's what I want to have a vote on. I challenge that ruling.
You want to challenge that ruling?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've already explained what I thought about that. We can go to a challenge on that if you want. Roberts is very clear that you cannot terminate debate in a committee. Its purpose is very clear.
Yeah.
Please let me finish.
The purpose is not very clear, George. That's all in your head, George. That's not...
I'm speaking. It may be in my head, but it is my interpretation.
George, you just said you had already spoken. On it. So as the person bringing the challenge, she gets to speak on it, and then we get to vote. What are you doing?
Jose Luis Fuentes, on point of information.
By your own admission, you should not be speaking, because you said you had just presented
your opinion, but it is not mine.
Jose Luis Fuentes, point of information.
You said you had already spoken. Why are you speaking again?
Jose Luis Fuentes, point of information.
What's your point of information, Jose?
I'm lost, and I apologize because with interference, I did not understand what George's reasoning was for not accepting the tabling motion, and so if George can explain that. That would be helpful to me in voting whether it's overturned the chair or not.
Okay. So when a challenge is made to the ruling of the chair, the chair gets to speak first, and he also gets to speak, or she also gets to speak last on the issue. In fact, until William made the challenge, there had been no real challenge to that ruling. And so I get a chance to speak when he finishes speaking first, and then we have a chance for other people to weigh in, and then I get a chance to speak again. That's what the rules say. So if it's all right with y'all, I'll lay out why I think it's inappropriate to table, and we can have a vote on that. Roberts makes a distinction between tabling to and debate and tabling because there's it's in Roberts about that. And it says it's inappropriate to use tabling simply to end the debate. It's also that it's very clear that within a committee, you cannot end debate. The committees are set up that way. My sense is that this motion to table was of the kind that's intended to end debate. And so I ruled it out of order. That's my thinking about it, and that's what I have to say about it. Now, you all can comment about that if you like.
Well, just point of order, Jose Luis. I on a motion to table, I thought there was no debate. We just go to the vote.
That's the case in the full body, but it's not the case in committee. That's what my ruling is. It's certainly the case in the PMB, and it does effectively terminate debate. And the point is that committees are set up so that you can't do that. And so it seems to me it's a way to avoid that, really the purpose of the committee. So there's a big difference between what happens on the PNB, the main body, and what happens in committee. You're absolutely right. If the motion,
a motion to table is not ready, it's garbage.
Lona, to the back, please.
So please let me finish answering Jose Luis, and then you can all have your speech. You say what you want. On the PND, if someone makes a motion to table, it is not discussable and it goes to a vote immediately. That's correct. So I heard Lona, and I'm not sure who else wants to speak. What's on the floor is William's challenge to my ruling, which is that the motion to table is out of order. So it's
one committee. Amazing.
So, Lona, did you want to speak?
Yeah, it has been my understanding, it has been my experience in committee that a motion to table is out of order. I've experienced that on the elections committee, I've experienced it on the governance committee, and period. That's all I'm going to say about that. At this point, whether there are other things that are on the agenda, and rather than let's get bogged down in this, I am willing to withdraw my motion just for the sake of the business being done, which effectively...
You can't really do that. The motion be done.
Okay. Okay.
Let me say this. If people do not wish to make a decision on this, they can simply vote down the motions. They can be brought up again at a later time. But you can't actually withdraw... Once you make the motion, it becomes the property of the body, and there may be other people who really want to have this discussed and really want to have it discussed now. So I can't allow you to withdraw it. It belongs to the body as a whole, which is this committee at the moment.
Point of information.
Yeah, good.
Sorry, excuse me. Okay. What is the process? My understanding, please correct me, that if someone makes a motion and they wish to withdraw the motion, if there is no objection to them withdrawing the motion,
that's correct.
Instead of declaring that it now belongs to the body, why don't you ask the body, pursuant to the member's request, ask the body whether there's an objection. Yeah.
Hello?
Is there any objection to withdrawing, would be withdrawing all the motions, because Lona's is a substitute to another motion. Is there any objection to withdrawing both Jose Luis's and Lona's and Williams' amendment from the floor? Okay, I hear none. So
sorry. This is Virginia. I had to go for a second. What am I doing? Am I supposed to object to something? I'm sorry.
Okay, let me explain. So we've come to kind of an impasse over the motions that are on the floor. Lona offered to withdraw her motion.
Are there any objections? Is that what you're asking?
We're looking to see if there's any objections to it. There is. Okay. So then it can withdraw.
No.
I don't object.
You don't object. Okay.
I was going to ask to postpone it, but that can always be brought up again.
That's right. Does anybody else object? Okay. Hearing done, then it's now off the floor. We can move on in the 10 minutes that remains to the next item, which is the question of what to do about medical misinformation. So let me give you my report very briefly, and then I would like to hear from you all what you think we're going to do from here. So I had asked the IED to forward questions to the general managers and get back to us about what their actual practice was. Did they have any disclaimers? Did they have any agreements with the staff? Do they have any agreements with third-party people? And she didn't get back to me. I sent her an email, and she didn't get back about that email. So essentially, I don't know what happened to that. So that's where we are. We were waiting for that information to go forward, and we don't have it. So what would you all like to do? I'll take a stack on that. Any suggestions?
You know, Jose Luis here.
Yeah, good.
I think that information would be very useful, and we need to obtain it. I move that the governance committee recommend to the PMB to request that the IED provide the information to the governance committee in order to fulfill its function on this issue. That would be my motion, and okay. I have other information on this that I was tasked to do that I need to report on.
Shall we discuss the motion first, or do we want to tell us what the other information is?
Tony,
you were going to look into what various agencies require besides the FCC. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's do Jose Luis's motion. Is there any objection to that? Basically, I would essentially say that we would be.
Tony, can you not question a point of information.
The way was trying to talk, and we got nothing but static from her. I could hear that she was speaking, George.
Lorraine
was speaking, and you couldn't hear her.
Thank you, Lona.
Who is speaking again?
You're clear now. You weren't before.
I have a point of information.
Who wanted to speak?
Motion.
Okay. What is that, sir? And then Tony. And then Tony, go ahead. I heard Tony wanted to go outside.
You said you requested it of the IED. When was the request made?
The request made was made the next day. Actually, it was made the same night.
The same night as our last meeting?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tony?
Yeah, my question was similar to what Serene asked, but also that was there a follow-up phone call? Because it seemed to me that you could follow up and call her. But by the time it gets to the P&B and on their agenda, we'll be almost a month or two down the road. Would it seem to be the simple solution is just call Lydia up and say, could you do this? Or did you get the email, and could you request it? I mean, is that a problem?
Is it a call?
Do you want to try to call her or contact her or follow up? Because I know this is a chaotic time. There's a lot of fires that the various managers and executive directors are trying to put out, and they're trying to put out. They got 1,001 fires and trying to put out 1,002. So I was just thinking maybe if there's a follow up phone call or email, maybe just get it done.
That could be a substitute motion. It didn't occur to me that the information wasn't back here until about 3 or 4 days ago, and I sent an email at that time. I suppose I could have called as well, but I didn't. I hear, Tony, your suggestion is that I just do that. Is that correct?
Yes, because if we pass this motion, it'll be by the time the PMB gets to it. I don't think they'll get to it by the next meeting. It'll be 60 days from that.
Okay,
so call her and say, can you do this?
And we really want this.
Jose Luis here.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Jose?
You can try. I don't have success when I call. But, you know, we do have the vice chair of the PMB here, and he can make that call, and he should be able to get a response right away if you're not successful, George.
So I hear what you're suggesting is I try to call, and if that doesn't work, I ask Tony to call.
Sometimes
I do call, and I don't get an answer back from the phone call either. So it isn't. I mean, I can certainly call. I know I can do that. Whether I can actually connect with our IED, I'm not sure. But I'm quite willing to try. I'm quite willing to do it in that order. And what I hear is there a sense of is there any objection to proceeding that way? Because as Tony suggests, we could get it done a lot faster, and I could get the information out to you all before the next meeting, rather than probably the next meeting.
Derek?
Yeah?
Can I be heard?
You can.
Okay. So,
great stuff.
I don't have... What?
I was just saying it breaks up sometimes, but you can be heard now, I think.
I don't have an objection, but I do have a suggestion that maybe you try early next week, since we have a PNB meeting. What is it, tomorrow or the next day?
Well, I can try tomorrow, and I can try next week as well. I mean, that doesn't go through. But I hear what you're saying is that there's a lot of business that she may be attending to. That,
we have an untaped IED for her own life and the chair of the PNB. So, yeah, I would think we can give her some. If you didn't remember until 3 days ago that you didn't get the response, and she's getting probably 10 times as much email as you.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, but anyway.
Jose, Luis, George, you know, this seems to me like a delegation of duty issues, and I understand people are unpaid, and I understand that. But at the same time, people took the position. They took the burden. If they're not up to the task, they're not up to the task. They need to delegate.
We don't have to go there.
I'm speaking. Please don't interrupt. I don't interrupt other people.
I know, but you're really not.
I don't interrupt other people.
Go ahead. Carry on.
So it's a delegation of duty issues, and there is a competent vice chair and the secretary and other folks that can get the committee work done. The point is the committee work needs to be done. It can't be stalled. And so we need to move on this. I mean, we're having the same issue in the audit committee, where committee work can't be done because there's no delegation of duties.
Point of information, please.
In 2 minutes, I'm going to call the orders of the day.
Point of information, please.
Virginia?
Information, please.
Yes, that's the point of information.
That's Mona.
It's okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lana.
Yeah. I seem to have some recollection of a motion being passed, and maybe it was only on the local LSD of WPFW. I thought it was on this committee, where there was a motion that went out of committee, and that any requests for documents or what have you that were made of the IED would be provided to that particular committee within a certain number of days. It seems I remember that discussion taking place. It seems I remember that motion passing. It seems I remember Margie being on the conversation when that occurred. Am I the only one that recalls that? That's my point of
reference. No, I recall it. I don't know whether it was a motion or whether it was just something that Margie said she would do. But I do remember her saying specific times for responding to questions. Yes.
I remember it in writing that it was a motion. I remember seeing it typed up and written down. So it wasn't just discussion.
You could be right.
Just another.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Just another thing. I think that Jose raises a very valid point. Can we not suggest that the co-chair of the PND reach out to, I don't know if that's overstepping authorities, to the different general managers to request the information that we need for this committee. That's the question. I don't know the answer.
Tony, are you willing to do that?
Sure. If you can send me, just to get it down right, if you can send it to me in writing, I definitely would. I don't have a problem with doing it. I just want to get it right, what it is.
Okay, I'll forward you. Okay, I'll do that. Is that agreeable to the rest of the committee? Is there any objection to doing it that way? Okay, hearing done, that's what we'll do. And Jose Luis, if that's okay with you, that disposes of your motion. Is that satisfactory?
I'm sorry, this is Serena. I don't subscribe to that motion.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry?
It is. Okay. The sense of the motion was that we attempt to get the information by going through the PMB and having the PMB ask for it. And it's basically been amended and approved so that I will send the information needed to Tony and he will forward it to our IED and we'll try to get it that way.
No. I'm sorry, George. That was my suggestion. My suggestion was that. Wow, I'm getting feedback. My suggestion was that Tony actually reaches out to the general managers to get the information that we wanted.
Well, I thought that was the same thing that I said.
No, you said to the IED.
I don't know if I have authority. I can reach out
directly to the general manager.
That was my question. I didn't know if he has authority to do that. That's why I was asking.
No, he does not.
Okay, thank you.
Well, the IED meets with the general managers every Thursday, as I understand.
No, she meets with them on Wednesday.
Tony does
not. May I be recognized? May I be recognized, please?
You may, yes.
This isn't even a motion issue. We haven't even, unless I missed it, have we discussed the information that we do have instead of passing motions about the information we would like to have that this committee didn't previously discuss anyway?
We did at the last meeting. We discussed the information we would like to have and what information
The only problem now is knowing what the GMs have?
We had, as a body, decided to ask the IED to consult with the general managers about what their procedures were about the three different kinds of things that we were talking about, all with regard to protecting ourselves from medical misinformation. So that was what happened last time. The requests were made. It hasn't been responded to. What's in front of us is, how do we want to proceed? The suggestion has been that I thought that Tony, as vice chair, would make a request of the IED. I gather Lona intended that he actually make the request directly of the general managers, but he doesn't really have access to them. I would like, since he's willing, I would like to do it that way. I would like to forward it to him and let him get the information for us.
Okay, we can do that without a motion right now and be done because it's happening.
That's essentially what the motion has come to, and if there's no objection to it, that's what we'll do.
Tony, for some clarification, I would take the information and request that the IED. I don't have the authority to contact each general manager trying to get the information, but I will contact the executive director saying that we want that, and so she can contact it. But I don't, as vice chair, I don't have the authority to go and just, without even making contact with the executive director, to contact the general manager.
That's clearly what's intended.
Okay.
Clear that you don't have the general managers, and that you'll make the request to the IED to get us the information as soon as you can, and hopefully enough before the next meeting we'll have a chance to think about it and come up with some kind of a policy.
George, you're going to forward the original email to Tony?
Yes, I will.
Okay. So I call the orders of the day.
That's certainly in order. And calling orders of the day means what the orders of the day are is we're out of time and we need to adjourn the meeting. So unless there's two-thirds for extending, we're going to adjourn. I don't sense that there's a strong desire to extend the time. So hearing no motion to that effect, we are now adjourned. Thank you all.
Good night.
And good night.
Excuse some governance business next meeting.
Here. Good night.
Next meeting, yes. Yes. First Tuesday in January?
First Tuesday in January, yeah.
January 5th. Okay.